So I'm here from the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at the University of Massachusetts Medical School on behalf of my colleagues on this project. And I, too, have no financial disclosure to talk about in terms of any commercial interest related to this presentation. So as a little bit of background, child abuse, childhood physical and sexual abuse is relatively common in adult primary care patients, with prevalence rates reported in the literature ranging anywhere from 12 to 50%. The association between childhood abuse and long-term adverse health sequelae is very well established. Childhood trauma has been shown to be linked to a long list of long-acting physical and psychological health conditions. In some reports, among patients with depression, chronic pain, irritable bowel syndrome, and substance abuse, the prevalence rates actually run as high as 70%. Some reports have shown a clear link between early and multiple adverse abuse events and long-term physical health consequences. In this dose-response relationship, there have been higher rates of risk behavior and disease among adults related to the breadth of exposure of childhood traumatic experiences. And many studies have actually shown higher healthcare utilization and healthcare costs in adults who have either physical or sexual abuse histories. There's been a lot of attention in the past several years in terms of either primary care or subspecialty physicians screening adult patients for intimate partner violence related to assessing risk and safety, but very little attention has been paid to screening adult patients in the primary care setting for a history of childhood abuse. Despite the fact that patients actually express an interest in being queried about these, believing that their primary care physician can actually help them with these conditions. And a number of studies actually suggest that patients say they aren't often asked about abuse histories, about violence exposure, even though they would welcome that opportunity. The primary care setting actually offers a whole host of opportunities for physicians to both identify and manage physical and mental health conditions in patients. In caring for patients with these challenging health conditions, the primary care setting offers a whole lot of opportunities to both link these symptoms to abuse histories, to help patients begin the healing process, and to avoid re-traumatizing patients in the healthcare setting. So given that background, we were very interested in trying to assess what physicians' screening practices were in the primary care setting and to identify through a statewide survey factors which may be related to primary care physicians screening their adult patients for a history of childhood abuse. Our sampling frame was the 2007 membership list of the Massachusetts Academy of Family Physicians, which at the time last fall was 833 providers. We did exclude patients or providers who said that they were either retired, no longer seeing primary care patients, no longer seeing adult patients, or not practicing in Massachusetts. We did a mailed survey with three postal reminders, and we offered as an incentive a raffle for three $100 bookstore gift certificates. We developed a 54-item survey, which asked a host of questions about screening practices specific to adult patients and childhood trauma histories. We also included questions about whether physicians thought it was their perceived role to screen, whether they thought there was utility to patients in screening, their confidence in screening, barriers in screening, and referral and follow-up activities if patients screened positive. And we included questions about the physician's knowledge about prevalence rates in adult patients. We asked questions about their personal experiences with trauma. We asked questions about how they would like to learn about screening opportunities, their medical education and residency training information, and a host of both socio-demographic and practice characteristics of the physicians. With a very particular interest based on the literature and looking at the relationship between screening practices and a physician's personal experience with trauma, we actually included five very specific questions. We asked about whether during childhood they had physical or sexual abuse themselves, whether as a child they had witnessed abuse, and we asked about adolescent and adult physical and sexual abuse. There was a section on the questionnaire where physicians could actually opt out of answering those five questions if they felt that they were too sensitive for either us to be asking or for them to respond to. Our data analysis was very traditional, univariate, bivariate, multivariate statistics. There were many categories of questions, for example, in the confidence section, where we had individual questions about both female and male patients and individual questions about both physical and sexual abuse. Because within each of these groups of variables, we had very high Cronbach alpha scores, we actually computed summary scores, which we used in subsequent analyses for each of these categories of variables. And we also conducted a factor analysis, looking at the 12 individual barrier to screening questions, and came up with sort of three factors or domains that we used in the analysis. One was time to ask questions, evaluate, and counsel patients. The second one was a perception that my patients are not likely victims of abuse. And the third one was the discomfort of asking these sensitive questions and a sense that there was little the provider could do to deal with these issues as a potential barrier. Our response rate was just a little bit under 50%. Once we excluded those ineligible physicians, we had 313 completed surveys to analyze. You can see descriptively our population was pretty much split 50-50 male and female providers. They were predominantly white and non-Hispanic. They'd been in practice for an average of 14 years with a pretty wide range. 60% of them were practicing either in a community health center or a single specialty group practice, and 80% of them were practicing either in an urban or suburban setting. With particular regard to how often physicians are screening their adult patients for childhood abuse, you can see that one-third of them report rarely or never screening their new or established female patients, and 60% of them report rarely or never screening their new or established male patients. When we looked at the relationship between screening practices and the physician's personal or practice characteristics, we found that physicians who reported usually or always screening were more likely to be female, significantly more likely to practice in a community health center, and more likely to know the prevalence of childhood abuse in adult female patients. What wasn't significant was the knowledge of the prevalence of childhood abuse in adult male patients, nor whether or not the physician provided obstetrical care, whether or not they knew anybody personally with an abuse history, or years in practice. When we looked at the relationship between screening and confidence, perceived role, utility, and personal trauma experiences, all four of these were independently associated with screening practice. So those providers who said that they were usually or always screening were more likely to say they were moderately or very confident to screen. They were more likely to say that they felt it was their role to a moderate or great extent. They felt that this information was moderately or very useful to patients. And they also self-reported a history of personal trauma at least sometimes on at least one of those five questions. And finally, when we looked at the relationship between screening practices and barriers to screening, each of those three domains were also independently associated with screening practices. I should say that barriers were reverse scored, so a higher score was less of a reported barrier. So physicians who reported usually or always screening were more likely to say that time was not a barrier to screening. They were more likely to say that the perception of my patients not being likely victims of abuse was not a barrier, nor was the discomfort with asking these screening questions or feeling like there was little they could do. When we put all of these together in a logistic regression model, you can see that physicians who reported usually or always screening were more likely to be female, practice in a community health center, feel confident, feel it was their perceived role, feel that this was very useful for patients, and feel that neither time nor the perception that my patients are not likely victims of abuse were barriers to screening. Of note, providers' self-report of a personal trauma history was no longer significantly associated with screening practices once we controlled for everything else in the model. So what does this all mean? Well, despite the fact that childhood abuse is fairly common among adult primary care patients, our results seem to indicate that many family physicians are not screening their adult patients for childhood abuse. This could be related to gaps in knowledge, particularly with regard to the prevalence of rates in adult patients, that these patients often present with either physical or mental health conditions. And an increased awareness in terms of the link between this past experience and present day health might help physicians to better target their screening to patients at higher risk. There also may be gaps in skills, particularly around confidence in screening. Even if providers feel that it's their perceived role or that this is useful to patients. two of my colleagues are family physicians at a community health center, and they tell me that even when providers do get this information about a patient's exposure to childhood abuse, many of them don't feel comfortable using this information. That there's a set of providers who believe that immediate referral to mental health services or the use of medications is the indicated path for patients, even though these patients could probably well be cared for in a primary care setting. Of course, anytime we talk about screening, there's always the issue of universal versus targeted screening. And certainly we have to acknowledge that primary care physicians, certainly it's very hard to ask any more of the time that they have for routine well visits. But some people believe that when we're talking about childhood abuse, that perhaps it might be warranted. Certainly PCPs should know when to suspect that an abuse history might be part of a patient's present-day symptomatology, that they should feel confident knowing how to screen, when to screen, that this presents an opportunity for them to both validate the patient's experience and begin the healing process. And certainly it's important for them to identify when patients, when it may be appropriate to provide a referral, or if a patient requests a referral to mental health services. Of course, every study has its potential limitations, and among ours, this is certainly self-reported information. There may be underreporting of personal trauma experiences due to the sensitivity of the questions, or overreporting of screening practices due to social desirability. The study was done in one state and in one specialty, so there may be some generalizability issues. And there's a perception that a higher proportion of Massachusetts community health practice in community health centers than is typical nationally. And since community health providers may be more sensitive to issues of disempowerment and victimization because of the patient panels they have, they actually may be more likely to be screening patients. So my last slide is, what's our next step? Well, we certainly have a number of additional analyses planned, and we're particularly interested in that relationship, exploring further the relationship between screening practices and a provider's personal exposure to trauma. Certainly, there's an opportunity to think about training and educational programs and developing interventions. Developing at a minimum some brief screening interventions that could be used in the primary care setting, which again both acknowledge the patient's experience and link these emotional and medical problems to past abuse. This hopefully will offer an opportunity to create some safe and boundary relationships between patients and providers, and hopefully create a more trauma-sensitive primary care practice. And these were just a few of the references that we used to develop our survey. In case anybody's downloading, I put a copy of the slides in the back. And I thank you for your attention.